Welcome to the Grace Abounding Broadcast, sponsored by the Shreveport Grace Church here in Shreveport, Louisiana. I'm Pastor Ken Weimer, and it is my privilege to bring to you today the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May our Lord God be pleased to bless His word to your heart as you listen today. What is the greatest blessing that God can give a people or a nation today? When you listen to what people pray for, what is it that they ask? Well, I hear many asking for prosperity. I hear them praying for peace. I hear them talking about the great advantages of technology or higher learning, higher education. Now, in and of themselves, these things may be good, but at best, they're temporal. I'd like to point out to you today in this message that there can be no greater blessing for a nation or for a people than for God to raise up a faithful preacher of the gospel. Here in the Gospel according to John in chapter 1 and verse 6, it says of John, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." Now, with everything else going on in that nation at that time, maybe the nation itself did not recognize it and certainly didn't consider it to be a blessing, but when it says there was a man sent from God, dear friend, there is no greater blessing than that. It says here, the same came for a witness. Now, this is God raising up a man and sending him forth to be a witness, not to draw attention or glory to himself, but it says here in verse 7, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. If any are to believe, it must be through him. It must be through this one who's called the light. And then it quickly says here in verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Just as the greatest blessing that God can give a people or a nation is to send them somebody who will faithfully declare the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. So, the greatest need of man is for that light. Why is light necessary? Well, it's necessary where there's darkness. And the scripture says the whole world lies in darkness. It says, even in this John 1 and verse 5, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There's a stark contrast between who the Lord Jesus Christ is and who man is as a sinner. And yet, if Christ came into this world, it was so that sinners might enjoy that light and enter into fellowship with God who is light. But in order for that to take place, it had to be through the revelation of that light. You know, you can take a blind man and put him in a room with a bright light. In fact, you can get him as close as you want to that light, but he's still not going to see it. That's what it says here, the darkness comprehended it not. It takes more than just the light. It takes eyes to see. But this is the work of God in salvation. Not only has the light been sent in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of God is given to give blind men, spiritually blind men, eyes to see, and those eyes being opened, they do see the light. But the Lord has purposed that this gospel be communicated in the world through preachers, mere men, simple men, men with feet of clay. There's no glory in the man himself, but when God sends him, he comes with a message, and that message is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we read here further on in John chapter 1, in verse 19, it says, "And this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" You see, these Jews had been reading the Old Testament scriptures and understood that the Christ was to come. The word Christ means anointed one, one anointed of God to accomplish salvation. There's none among men that could work out their salvation, but God in His mercy and grace appointed one, anointed one, His eternal Son, whom the scriptures speak of here as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Why is Christ called the Word? Well, a word is a revelation. Even as I'm speaking to you right now, you cannot know my thoughts or what's on my heart and mind unless I tell you. So it is with salvation. None can know God. None can enter into fellowship with Him apart from Him revealing it. And that Word is Christ. If you're ever to see God, it must be through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the eternal Word. If God has ever shown mercy to a sinner, it's been through His Son, the Word. That's how He speaks. This whole book, the Bible, it's called the Word of God, but it has to do with Christ. He said to the Pharisees in John 5, verse 39, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of Me." It's of Him that all of prophets spoke. And so as these religious leaders came out to John, saw him here preaching in the desert, they were asking him, "Who art thou?" They were wondering if he was the Christ. But he said, "I'm not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" You see, back in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi spoke of Elijah, who was to come before the coming of the Messiah. So they're asking him, "Art thou Elijah?" Now later on, our Lord very clearly declared that that Elijah was this one John the Baptist who came in the spirit of Elijah. That's how this was fulfilled. You see, they were looking for a physical Elijah, trying to put this together. But he said, "I'm not." They said, "Well, art thou that prophet?" Again, back in Deuteronomy, you remember Moses spoke of a prophet that the Lord would raise up from among them. And he said, "Hear him." Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. So they're asking, "Art thou that prophet?" They were asking some good questions. It showed that they had some understanding of Scripture, unlike so many today. I feel like in our generation, even though the Bible, they say, is still the number one bestseller in the world, yet there's gross ignorance as to what's written in it. People can't even ask intelligent questions because they haven't even read the Scriptures. But these men had read, and they were questioning. So then they said unto him, verse 22, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" See, in religion, there's hierarchy. You've got your men that sit up in the chief seats. It's like it was for the Pharisees. And then you've got the lower men who do the running. That's who they sent here. They sent some runners. I'm not saying that that's the way it is with the gospel, but in religion, men treat religion like they do businesses. They have different positions of honor. These others couldn't come themselves, so they sent some of their envoys. And they asked, "What sayest thou of thyself?" And here's the answer. John said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, But there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And that word baptizing means immersing. That's why he was in that place, because, as it says in John 4, there was much water there. And the next day, verse 29, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, here's his message, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. In other words, there was a time that he had not yet been revealed, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. Now, in a few moments, I want to answer this question. What will a man of God speak? What will he preach? How can I know that a man is sent from God? Isn't that a good question? There are an awful lot of men running around today, preachers, claiming to be sent of God. And I've talked to many who say it gets so confusing because there's so many different voices, as opposed to what we read here of John the Baptist, where he calls himself the voice. I'll tell you, if you want to learn of God, if you want to learn of Christ, you want to make sure that it's from one who has been sent from God. And that's what I want to answer. How can I know? Please stay tuned. Now, here's the question that I want to endeavor to answer in the remainder of this broadcast. How can I know that a man is sent from God? Well, let me give you just four or five characteristics of a man sent from God. First of all, where a man is sent from God, his message and his methods will be different than that of popular religion. You notice here in this first chapter of John that you've got the religious Pharisees, the chiefs among the Jews, the priests and the Levites coming from Jerusalem to ask him, as it says in verse 19, "Who art thou?" Now, why were they asking this question? Well, John had not been raised in their synagogues. The disciples of Christ had been taught of him. They were not men of religious institutions. They'd learned the gospel from the Lord himself. And that's exactly the way it's going to be for a man sent from God. If he knows anything of God, if he knows anything of salvation, of the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't learn it from an institution. He learned it by revelation. That's the only way that you're going to know Christ. It's through this word, but it's going to be Christ himself opening your heart and revealing him unto you. Now, I went to school for many years. Went to college and then on to graduate school studying theology. But I didn't learn the gospel there. What I know of the gospel today and what I'm preaching to you concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, God was pleased to teach me through his word. And he caused my path to cross with a man sent from God, one who came whose message was different than works religion teaches, whose message was different than a man-centered message that's so popular today. That's what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians. He said in Galatians 1 and verse 12, "For I neither received the gospel of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, he was a religious man. He'd grown up in those institutions. And he said, "For you've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, persecuted any that named Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ," he said, "and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation." There's great profit, financial profit, fame in religion today. So many caught up with it. And he said, "being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." But now listen, what made the difference? He says here in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Now, this isn't to be learned from man. It's going to be learned from God. It's going to be God teaching you who the Lord Jesus Christ is through this word and by his Spirit. So you see, where a man is sent from God, his message and his methods will be different than that of popular religion. I fear that so much of what goes on in popular religion today is nothing more than what was established back here with these Pharisees. It's crossing land and sea to make one proselyte. But as the Lord said, once they become a proselyte, they become twice fold the child of the devil. Why? Because men are taught to do something for their salvation, whether it's raising a hand or bowing a head or coming forward. These are all methods that men have invented, but they're not new. The Jews had their methods. If anybody wanted to become a child of God, according to these Pharisees, there was a whole list of standards that they had to fulfill, especially if it was a Gentile. He had to literally give up being a Gentile and adopt the lifestyle of a Jew in order to have any hope. Dear friends, that's not the gospel. The gospel teaches that God takes sinners where they are and by his grace transforms them, gives them eyes to see, reveals Christ in them, and unites them to his blessed Son because of that great work that he accomplished on Calvary. Christ satisfied God's justice, that God might be a just God and a Savior. So listen carefully to what a man has to say. What's his message and his methods? His methods are going to be in line with his message. John wasn't out there trying to flaunt himself. He was just a simple man out in the desert. He calls himself a voice. A voice. And that brings me to my second point here. Where a man is sent from God, he seeks no glory of his own. He says here in verse 20, I am not the Christ. You hear certain preachers today, they set themselves forth on a pedestal, drawing attention to themselves, wanting all the light to be on themselves as if they were the Christ. He said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not one of those prophets. And when they asked, what sayest thou of thyself? He said, the voice. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What's a voice? Well, it's a means of communication. He said, I'm but God's spokesman. That's all. And not only a spokesman, but just a humble servant. In fact, you see here, he says, with regard to Christ in verse 27, whose shoes latchet, I'm not worthy to unloose. That was the job of a simple house servant, to take and unloose the latchet of the shoes of his master's feet and take them off. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called a servant. See this humility that the grace of God gives a man. He seeks no glory of his own. He had one objective. He said, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. And this world is a wilderness, much darkness, much ignorance with regard to the things of Christ. But he said, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. John didn't have a different message than those of the Old Testament. He quotes Isaiah here, and the message was, make straight the way of the Lord. He's referring to Christ. Christ is the Lord. He's God in the flesh. To make straight, that's what they did back in the old days when a king would travel. People would go out on the roads and take out all of the bumps and the rough places so that when the king passed over, it would be a smooth ride. That was the glory due to his name. It didn't matter what you had to do. The king was passing, and it was his glory, his comfort that was uppermost. And so it is with service to Christ. Where a man is sent from God, he seeks no glory of his own. All the glory goes to Christ. Thirdly, where a man is sent from God, his one purpose is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. As John said here, when they ask him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ? He uses that opportunity. There's no salvation in baptism, although immersion is important. In the matter of salvation, those that have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, they identify with him in the waters of baptism by immersion, not sprinkling, not aspersion, but immersion. Why? Because it represents the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's for those in whom Christ has been revealed that God has done that work of grace. It's not just a simple ceremony, but when they ask him, well, why do you baptize if you're not the Christ? He said, it's to point you to the one who comes after me, but is preferred before me. Christ came after John in time only, because John was raised up before him to be the forerunner, but he's to be preferred before me, as it says here. And he said, I'm not worthy even to loose his shoes latchet. You see, his one purpose is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. You listen to a man, and what he has to say in his message, it shouldn't take him 45 minutes for you to figure out who's getting the glory. If he's truly a man sent from God, his message will be the Lord Jesus Christ. His interest lies in the preeminence of Christ. As John the Baptist said here, he's to be preferred. He's to be honored before the preacher. He's the master, the preacher, but his servant. And then, fourthly, where a man is sent from God, his one message will be, behold the Lamb. As I read here in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not just Christ, but Christ and him crucified. Why did Christ come? To lay down his life. Why did he lay down his life? Because the wages of sin is death. In order to be the substitute for that people that God has purposed to save, he had to bear their curse. He had to bear their penalty. He had to satisfy what the law required, death, in order to be a just God and a Savior. But you notice the message here. It's not, behold the preacher. It's not, behold my church, or behold our building, or the size of our congregation, or behold our programs and music. No, behold the Lamb of God. Behold. That's an expression used when you want to get somebody's attention. Look. Look where? What are we looking at? The Lamb of God. Notice, the, a definite article. Not one among many, but the Lamb of God. There had been many lambs sacrificed in years past, millions, but they are all but types of the Lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God, the Lamb. In the Old Testament, that Lamb had to be without spot and blemish. Christ was without spot and blemish, holy, just. That's His righteousness that He fulfilled. He obeyed perfectly God's law to the satisfaction of the Father, the perfect Lamb, but a Lamb sacrificed, a Lamb slain. His blood wasn't spilt, as some of the old hymns say. It was shed. God shed it. It says here, He's the Lamb of God. That's the whole message of Scripture. In Genesis 4:4, you see the Lamb typified. In Genesis 22:8, the Lamb prophesied. In Exodus 12, the Lamb slain and the blood applied. In Isaiah 53, the Lamb personified. Here in John 1:29, the Lamb identified. And as you read the book of Revelation, you see the Lamb magnified and glorified. Oh, take the Word, dear friend, and read it, looking for the Lamb. He's on every page. But He's the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, this statement has been so grossly misunderstood by so many. Some say, well, when it says there, taketh away the sin of the world, that means every single person in the world. But, dear friend, let me ask you, if the sin of every single person in the world has been taken away, then there's no more basis for God to judge a sinner. He could not be a just God and judge those whose sin has been taken away by the Savior. Now, the word world here is an expression that describes the world without distinction, not without exception. You read the Scriptures, there are those that God hates and has never set His love upon, that are sinners, and He justly condemns them, but those that He loves. And the Scripture says there's a people that God has chosen from every tribe, nation, and tongue throughout the world that Christ came to save. He has taken away their sin. The world without distinction. Are you a sinner? Well, if you are, and God has caused you to see that you are, then the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and took away your sin. Is this the Christ you know? There is no other. Is this the gospel you believe? Well, if it is, it's because the Lord has been pleased to reveal it in you. Dear friend, look to the Lamb.
You've been listening to the Grace Abounding broadcast. I'm Ken Weimer, pastor of the Shreveport Grace Church. Let me take this opportunity to invite you to join us during one of our weekly worship services. We meet as a church at 2970 Baird Road, a quarter mile east of Mansfield Road. Our Sunday worship services begin at 10 a.m. and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 5028, Shreveport, Louisiana 71135. Or if you'd like to call, the number is area code 318-834-4395. I hope you'll join me again next week at this same time for another gospel message, or plan to meet with us for worship at 2970 Baird Road, Shreveport, Louisiana.